Blog Talk Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else can take your place. Now when I wanna be the warmth of your embrace, help me find my way. Bring me back to you. Everybody say it tonight. Na, na, na. Oh, oh, oh. Said I sing you working on, oh, no, 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 no.
And I want you to work in me.
Said I've seen you heal the sick to others. And I want you to work in me. Lay it all down again. Mishkataba. To hear you say I'm your friend. Because I see
you
that I've seen you working others. The Bible says that we are to be provoked to jealousy in a good thing. But I want you to know that the anointing of God is not relegated but to one name, and that is Jesus. I've seen some things. I've seen some anointed people. I've seen men and women pray to the power of God move. So happy to have my mother here, the international mother. That's what, yeah. Mother Winans. And I saw my brother David, my eldest brother David, had been living for about 3 days with a ruptured appendix. The poison was all through his body. They weren't expecting him to live, and he'd gone to the hospital. They operated one, and then they got him in and they saw more. They had to operate again. When they finished that second operation, they came back and told them that there was another pocket of poison that they need to go in and get. And at the time, my father said, no. I don't know why I let you operate in the first place. And he called for the elders of the church. And they came in and prayed. Elder Stacks and Elder Weatherspoon. And they said, Lord, for his grandfather's sake, heal him. And the doctors came back and said, we don't know where it went, but the poison is gone. David is alive today. Because I've seen you work. And I want you to work in me. Everybody that wants God to do something through them, just say that one time. Say, I see and I want you to work. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Second Chronicles, the 5th chapter. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. I wish I had a voice tonight. I was hollering the other day. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting. Yield it and still. Second Chronicles and Mother Boyd was here. She might say it like this. Y'all ready? Y'all got to go with me. Use me, Lord, in your servant. Draw me nearer every day. I'll be willing, Lord, to run on all the way. If I falter, I got to pray. Second Chronicles 5. Second Chronicles 5. And 11. 2 Chronicles 5 and 11, and we'll begin reading at the 11th verse. If you have it, indicate by shouting amen.
Ain't nobody stopping my shine. They try to break me, try to take me out, but I got Jesus on my side. So bad I thought it would die, but ain't no power stronger than the one that came and laid down his life. And I got mountains to climb, but the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my life.
good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. I am your host, none other than Chief Apostle Donnell Douglas. We're here to encourage, inspire, and strengthen you through the Word of God. It's what we do on a day-to-day basis, and we're just excited that you decided to stop by and be a part of the Worldwide Gospel Connection Man Up Monday broadcast. Listen, call a friend, tell the neighbor that the Worldwide Gospel Connection is on the air. What you want to do is you want to give them this number. That number is 563-999-3628. That number again is 563-999-3628. That number again is 563-999-3628. Give them that number. Tell them to call in and come on and be a part of the Worldwide Gospel Connection's Man Up Monday broadcast. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor that we're here and we're live. This is not Memorex. This is live. You're actually into a live broadcast on this morning. We're just excited about what the Lord is going to do on this morning. Remember to just be able to connect with you guys and to share on this morning. And it is a honor and a privilege as always to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you guys across this great country, across this great nation. Those of you all that are listening in on whatever streaming devices you guys are listening to us on, we want to say thank you so very much for your continued support of the Worldwide Gospel Connection. You know how we do it here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Before we go any further, let us go into effectual, fervent prayer. Let us talk to the Lord on this morning. You lend me your hearts for a moment. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Father God, God, to share this gospel of Jesus Christ with those that are under the sound of our voices on today. We want to say thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the honor to be able to share your gospel with this world, God. God, for some man, some woman, some boy, some girl, some young person, some older person, someone that lost their way along the path, may we come and say, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be recaptured into your presence, God, into your spirit, into your life, to allow you to have access into our life, oh God. God, we want to say thank you, Lord God. God, for this gospel of Jesus Christ going out, God. God, in touching those hearts and those minds of those who are seeking to be in a better and a closer relationship with you, with the Father. And we want to say thank you, oh God, just for being God number one all by yourself. Thank you for being the peace that surpasses all understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds. You are a great God, and we are great, and you are greatly to be praised in the mighty and rich and infallible name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the Bible Christ said, amen, amen, and amen. Listen, those of you all that are listening in again, that number is 563-999-2628. Press 1, and you'll be able to speak to the guest and the host on this morning. So we just want to say thank you for just being so obedient to share that broadcast number and connect with us. We want to share our morning scripture with you, which will be coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 6. Chapter 13 and verse number 6. Again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 6. It says, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. That blessed me this morning. I'm going to share that again. Rejoice not in iniquities, but rejoice in the truth. Amen. Amen. That's our morning scripture. And as always, we want to make sure that we acknowledge all of those great countries that are listening in to us on this morning. And we want to say again, this is my soapbox moment. You know how we do it. This is our soapbox moment. There are those that are under the sound of our voice right now that if they are caught with a scripture, not a Bible, but a scripture, in their homes in these other countries. They're drug addicts in the street, and they're made an example out of. They're made an example out of. Some of them are executed in the street. Some of them are, families are separated, sold into work camps. Their sons and their daughters are sold into servitude, into slavery. And just because they want to get closer to Jesus Christ. But what I want you to do, this is my soapbox moment, and I tell you guys this every Monday that we're on. I want you to take out the time to intercede for those families. I'm going to call out the country's names And this is all I want you to do. I just want you to take out that time. And I want you to intercede. I want you to pray for them. I want you to lift them up. I want you to give God glory for them. I want you to pray. I want you to intercede. I want you to talk to the Lord on their behalf. Because when you do that, what you do is you give that up to the Lord, and the Lord will enter into that place. And watch this. He very well may deal with the hearts of the taskmasters, the ones that have rule over them. Watch this here. He'll deal with them. He'll put into them. He'll pour into them. He'll work into them. He'll do what he needs to do to shift them. Watch this here. If you allow them to be moved in the place that they need to be moved in, and we just, when you intercede and pray, just talk to the Lord. Call on his name, and he will shift that very situation for them. That's my soapbox moment on this morning. That's my soapbox moment on this morning. So let me go ahead and acknowledge those countries. We have the United States. We have Canada. We have Brazil. We have Ghana. We have Guyana. We have Nigeria. We have Kenya. We have Zimbabwe. We have South Africa. We have Jamaica. We have Saudi Arabia. We have China. We have Hong Kong. We have Germany. We have Bulgaria. We have Russia. We have Mexico. We have the United Kingdom. We have Paris, France, Japan, South Korea, Ireland, India, Portugal, Netherlands, Italy, we have Thailand, and we have Romania. And we want to say thank you guys so much for your connecting with us on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. It is an honor to be able to share Jesus Christ with you guys on a week-to-week basis like we do. And we're just honored again for that privilege, for that opportunity, for that chance to share the Word of God with you. And we hope that this that we're sharing with you is a strength to you, is giving you something to gravitate toward, to know that God is with you, God is in your life. Amen? Amen. So listen, we're going to go ahead on, and we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Remember, guys, you're listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. Sometimes, the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister, Leandria, here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
Deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do is hurt me, hurt me.
All I see to do is hurt. my background sin. God rescue me from myself, from my overthinking. If you're listening out there, just repeat after me if you're struggling with your past and say, let the Lord know. Just say, He wants to restore your soul. Seek my faith, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, bring it on down. So it is so, amen. Now when we pray, we want to end that with a declaration, a decree. So I'm speaking for all of you listening, starting here, starting now. The things that hurt you in the past won't control your future. Starting now, this is a new day. This is your exodus. You are officially released. Now sing it for me, Leandria.
Right, Genesis chapter 37. Y'all hold on, I don't have no glasses on. I know y'all laughing. Some of y'all get older. Some of y'all already old. Genesis chapter 37, beginning at verse 18. I'm reading from it's a relatively new translation that I really like. It's called the Clear Word. And I'm reading from that translation this morning, beginning at verse 18. When they saw him in the distance, they said, "Hey, look who's coming, the dreamer." And they agreed to kill him as soon as he came into the camp. They sneered, "That dreamer is coming to spy on us. Then he'll go and tell Father how bad we've been. So let's kill him and throw his body into a dried up, empty well. And we'll say that a wild animal killed him, then we'll see what happens to his dreams." But Reuben overheard their plans and decided to save Joseph. He said, "Let's not kill him after all. He's our brother." Then he suggested, instead of killing him and becoming murderers, let's just throw him alive into one of these empty wells and let him die. There are a number of them right here. He made this suggestion because he intended to rescue Joseph, send him back to his father before anything else could happen to him. As Joseph neared the camp, they waved at him. But when he got there, instead of hugging him, they grabbed him. They tore off the robe, dragged him over to a nearby empty well, and dropped him in it. Then they sat down to eat, and while they were eating, they saw a caravan in the distance. It was coming their way, heading south toward Egypt. When the caravan got nearer, they recognized the men as Ishmaelite traders coming from Gilead. The camels were loaded with all kinds of goods, including spices and balm and myrrh. Then Judah said to his brothers, "If we let our brother starve to death in this well, we are actually killing him, even if we say otherwise. After all, the trouble he's caused us, we at least ought to get something out of this." Man, who needs brothers like that? "Why don't we sell him to these Ishmaelites? Then no one can accuse us of killing our own brother. After all, he is our flesh and blood." And the brothers agreed. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Story said that they said, let's drop him in this dry, empty well and see what happens to his dreams. I want to preach for just a few minutes as the Spirit shall guide with this thought in our minds. He's with me in empty places. He's with me in empty places. You really had to be hiding under a rock over the last few weeks to not have seen the tragedy of what transpired in Baltimore, Maryland, in the aftermath of the senseless murder of Freddie Gray. Out of all the things that went down, I was preaching there this past Wednesday and Thursday and got a more intimate look and conversation on some of the things that actually happened. And out of all the things that went down, probably one of the most powerful was what happened at Camden Yards, the home of the Baltimore Orioles. What the media did not tell you was that those young activists were in the midst of a very peaceful march. But while in the midst of the march near Camden Yard, which is right downtown, what the media would not tell you was that in the midst of a peaceful march by activists, fans who were waiting to go into the game began to yell racist slurs that I will not even repeat. These young people who had come to what Malcolm Gladwell calls the tipping point were outraged by what was being hurled at them in a racist and insultatious way. And as a result of what was being said to them, because they were only marching peacefully, many of them began to lose every semblance of civility they had. When things went upside down, the city planners met with Oriole management because they were in the beginning of a 3-game series with the Chicago White Sox. And so the management decided that the best turn of events, as most of you already know, was not to cancel the next game, but to play it without the presence of fans in the stadium. So they were forced to play this game with nobody cheering them on. It brought to my mind a question, Bishop, as many were recounting all of this to me this week. Have you ever been in a place where you had to do your job knowing you didn't have any fans? How many of us would be able to execute our responsibilities with excellence, knowing that there was nobody there to applaud, appreciate, or encourage you? There were fans, I was told, there were fans that were incredibly disgruntled at this turn of events because they couldn't understand how they had bought tickets but were shut out of the game. They could not understand, this is going to get good, how they paid the price to have access but were kept out by those in charge of the stadium gates. Y'all didn't get it. They were mad because they couldn't figure out how they had paid the price to be in the stadium, but the folk in charge of the stadium wouldn't give them. And for one day, Oriole fans knew what it felt like to be black. They knew what it felt like to be a people who had paid the price but got shut out of the game by those in charge of the game. See, that's why you need to vote this coming Tuesday, so you can make sure. So you can make sure that the right gatekeepers are at the gate so you can get access. Okay. Oh. They, for one day, they knew what it was like because we paid the price of admission through blood, sweat, tears, and yet we have not been allowed admission to the game. And when we get in the game, they try to change the rules. As I was watching SportsCenter, something caught my eye. They showed players from both teams in this empty stadium. This was deep. They showed, I believe it was the first baseman for the Baltimore Orioles, walked over to the bleachers and he had a pad and started writing like he was signing autographs. This is true. They showed another player who had baseballs in his hand, throwing them into the stands like there was somebody there to catch it. And if you didn't know any better, you thought they were insane. But what one of them said in an interview was, since we had nobody there to cheer us on to win, we had to find the power of self-encouragement. Oh, this is going to get good. They were, in a real sense, much like David, who when he had nobody else learn to encourage himself in us. And some of y'all in here can testify right now. You don't have a life coach. You don't have a counselor's couch. You don't have a book you're reading. But you've had seasons where you had nobody else, and you had to learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. As a matter of fact, if the truth be told, that's the only reason you haven't fallen apart. That's the only reason you haven't lost your mind. That's the only reason why you aren't bitter or angry or playing the victim. You learned how to encourage. Oh, okay, some of y'all look like you don't know how to encourage yourself. I'm switching because this ain't working right. Some of y'all act like you don't know how to encourage yourself. He may not come when you want. Yourself, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the. Some of you act like you don't know how to encourage yourself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Some of you act like you don't know how to encourage yourself. Please get it together. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in. Some of you act like you don't know how to encourage. Be still and know that I am God. Some of you act like you don't know how to encourage yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the. Some of you act like, have you ever been in a situation where you were in the stadium of life all by yourself, and you didn't have fans anywhere around you, and you had to throw the ball to yourself and just say, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world didn't take it from me. Do me a favor. Don't shake your neighbor's hand. Don't high-five your neighbor. High-five yourself and say, encourage yourself. Every now and then, you've got to learn how to encourage yourself. Because there come seasons when you're in the stadium by yourself. Let me say this to you. Let me say this to you. You really don't know what it's like to have to survive until you are placed in an environment where there is nobody that's with you. Some of you in here who had dreams and visions and goals can testify that once you got a dream and spoke it, it became one of the loneliest experiences you could ever encounter. It can get frustrating because the people, y'all cut it down a little bit, please, y'all work it out for me. The people who you thought would support you suddenly press the mute button. It can become frustrating when you have a dream, but you are surrounded by people who speak against it because they are caught up on the facts while your spirit is caught up in the faith. And you are trying to figure out how this dream is going to come about. And I can imagine that's where Joseph found himself. When things got rough, he was alone in the stadium by himself. It's interesting when you read the story that Joseph is hated by people he's done nothing to. As a matter of fact, the Bible declares, read the story from the beginning, that the father gave him this multicolored coat. I'm coming back to that. And they hate him because of the coat. So that they hate him because of what is on him. If he were regular like everybody else, they wouldn't have had an issue. But the father gave him a colorful coat as a sign of his favor. They saw the colorful coat and got angry at the color God put on him. Y'all slow. They saw the color on him and got mad at the color they saw. When he didn't ask for the color, it was the Father's choice that put the color on him. Y'all ain't trying to help me in here today. There will be some people who don't like you when it's a multicolored coat. There's some folks ain't going to like you whether you're black, you're white, you're yellow, you're dark, you're red bone, light skin. Y'all ain't trying to talk to me. There are people who in the ignorance of their prejudice will not like you just because of your color. But if the Father gave you the color, be glad for the color you got. Whether you're dark, light, white, black, nappy hair, curly hair, long hair, short hair, weave, natural, perm, fat, tall, skinny, built, Denzel, Eddie Murphy, Beyonce, Janet Jackson, Jennifer Hudson, obese, whatever it is. They got mad with him. And the Bible says they started plotting his demise when they saw him coming. Now get this. They saw him coming. He was still afar off. And they started to plot to get rid of him. When they saw him coming, they were plotting what they were going to do to kill his dream. There are people close up on you who you should have been able to trust your heart to, who see you coming. They see you putting stuff in order. They see you working on the business plan. They see you getting your finances together. They see you paying off bills and getting your... God, it's getting good. Now, they see the sparkle in your eye at the business you want to start or the house you want to buy. And even before you get it, they start plotting to destroy it. Y'all ain't helping me. Because for many people, your success highlights their laziness. They started plotting to kill him. The Bible declares, I'm just going somewhere. They threw him into an empty well where he would be alone, left to die. And I want to suggest to somebody today that's feeling alone that the worst thing the enemy can do is leave you by yourself. See, you ain't used to hearing that. You're used to hearing that if I'm by myself, I get tempted to do crazy things. But I want to show you from this text, the worst thing the enemy can do is leave a child of God by themselves. Because if you get me by myself long enough and I survive, it's going to help me to realize that all I really needed was me and God. I wish I had a witness. If I have God on my side, I can survive anything that's done to me. Do I have a witness in here that even when you're by yourself, if God is with you, you can survive that divorce, you can survive that bankruptcy, you can survive that job termination, you can survive anything you go through. And the worst mistake the devil made was making you be by yourself, because you discovered when you were by yourself, you had everything it took to hold on until the Lord delivered you. And you discovered that God will be with you even in empty spaces. Do I have any witnesses in here that can testify there have been some empty seasons, and the only reason you survived it without losing your mind is because God was with you even in the empty places? This word this morning is for somebody who had to go through a season of prolonged unemployment when you couldn't pay your bills. He'll be with you in empty places. This is for somebody who feels like nobody is there to encourage you and lift you up. He will be with you in empty places. This is a word for somebody who got laid off of a great job after doing a great. He will be with you in empty places. I'm talking to somebody who's in this house by yourself with nobody to help you get it together. He will be with you in empty places. There are some things you can learn when God puts you in a place by yourself. So hold your head up, dry your tears, cancel your pity party, kick everybody out the party, and stand still and know that even when you are in an empty place, the Lord is there with you. Oh, I forgot to tell you, the Orioles played the White Sox in the empty stadium without anybody cheering or clapping. And in that empty stadium, they won the game. Because when you got God, you can win even if ain't nobody cheering for you. Talk, boy. When you've got God, you can get the victory even if ain't nobody there to see it. How many of y'all today know God has given you some victories nobody saw? How many of y'all know God has given you some victories nobody was there to cheer? If you tried to tell them, they wouldn't understand it because they weren't in the stadium. The old folk used to say, you don't know what the Lord has done for me. You don't know. You weren't there. You don't know when, and you won't don't know where. Would you do me a favor? Would you grab you one partner and do-si-do and tell them this next shout is for the victory nobody saw. This next shout is for the battle nobody knew. This next shout is for the victory nobody helped me get through. This next shout is for the battle nobody helped me fight. This next shout is for the victory nobody saw. This next shout is for the victory nobody clapped me through. I made it with God all by myself. Come on, get your shout on. It wasn't nobody but you and God in the stadium, and he gave you the...
Just nudge your neighbor and tell him, I can't even explain it to you. That was the wrong neighbor. Turn on the other side. I can't even explain it to you. If I tried to, you wouldn't even understand it. And the reason you wouldn't understand it is because you didn't even know I was going through it. Because I got so much class, I suffered without looking like it. I got so much dignity, I suffered without looking like it. I got so much class, I caught hell without looking like hell. But I came by to let you know today that in the midst of the midnight hour, when I couldn't call nobody, couldn't text nobody, couldn't tell nobody to come see about me, the Lord picked me up. He turned me around. He dried my tears. And I got the victory without nobody cheering. I feel sorry for some of y'all. Y'all looking at us like we don't know. You're looking at me like, why am I jumping around? I'm a dignified preacher. I'm sorry. I just had a flashback to a victory nobody knew I was going through. And if God gives you a flashback, it'll make you start to shout all by yourself. Don't even turn to your neighbor. Don't look at your neighbor. Just look up and say, thank you, God. Can't nobody know what I'm talking about. Thank you, God. Nobody was there to dry my tears. Thank you, God. Let me show you what the Lord is going to teach you in the empty spaces of your life. He's going to teach you in the empty places of your life that real favor is not on you, it's in you. The Bible declares, read it, that they stripped him of his coat. They stripped him, verse 23 says, ripped off that coat. I told you that coat represented the favor of the Father. They got mad because he was wearing the Father's favor. They took the coat because it was the coat that got on their nerves. Because the coat was the visible evidence, hey, of the favor of the Father. But here's what they miss. You can take the coat, but you can't take the favor. See, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. His Father gave him favor, but his God gave him a dream. And the dream ain't wrapped up in my coat. The dream is wrapped up in my mind. So even after the coat is gone, the dream still remains. Why? Because the favor for destiny was not on him, it was in him. So you can take my stuff, but it won't stop me because I know that God is the one that gave me the dream. And you can take everything I have, but it will not stop me because I know that what I need to get to where God has shown me is inside me. So fire me and I'll still open up the business. God, I wish I had a praying church in here today. I wish I had a praying church in here today. Fire me and I'll still buy the house. God, help me in here today. Help me in here today. Dismiss me and I'll still go back to college. God, help me. Flunk me and I'll sit out a semester and come back because I understand that favor for my future is not in the stuff you take from me. It is on the inside. Let me tell you something. What can't be stripped from you is the dream God showed you. Where are my dreamers? I'm looking for my dreamers. Come on. Dreaming of a home, dreaming of a business, dreaming of a position. I need you to understand that what cannot be stripped from you is what God showed you. I need you to get that in your head right through in here. That your dream is not tied to or dependent on what you have, but on who you have. And if you would ever stop trying to accumulate accoutrements and just work on you. Have you ever noticed people like Malcolm Forbes, Steve Jobs, people who doing it big, never dress like they rich? We the only folk. That try to authenticate our somebodyness through our stuff. So you're going broke buying fake Louis Vuittons and... Oh, y'all are getting quiet. Buying cars you can't afford and... Come on, don't get quiet on me now. It's in debt trying to prove something to folk you don't even like. But notice, see, this is an old adage. I've heard this before. Folk who are wealthy don't have to dress like they're rich. Because you can be rich and not be wealthy. Rich, you just got a whole lot of money. That ain't going to last you long. Wealth means you got money that's stretched beyond your time. Rich means you just got money sitting in the bank. Wealth means you taking that money, flipping it, rubbing it, yeah, and letting it make money for you. Our problem is many of us cannot access our dreams and bring our dreams into reality because we're trying to look the part. But if you stop trying to get stuff and work on you, baby, you can wear jeans and hot boxes and still walk in your dream. I wish I had a witness. You can drive a hoopty and drive it to the business you own. See, I ain't getting many amens right there because we think we got to have a certain look. I got to look the part. It don't make no difference to look the part if you can't be the part. It's not in what you have. See, here's the other thing. If the favor and the dream are connected to God, this is so good, then what people do to you and whoever walks out on you won't impact you. Oh, Let me say that again. If the dream is from God, then what people do to you and whoever walks out on you will not depress you. Because empty spaces will teach you to get yourself together and help you to realize that you don't need other people to affirm your dream. Let me help you. This is going to be so tweetable. If you need people to co-sign your legitimacy and authenticity, you ain't ready for the dream. If I need people to co-sign on the legitimacy and the authenticity of who God made me, I ain't ready for the big time. But when you know you got something, ain't nobody got to tell you. That's when you're ready. It all came to your mind because they made the mistake of putting you in empty spaces. There's something else. Sometimes empty spaces are preparation for future predicaments. I've discovered this. Sometimes God will allow a situation at this time because of what God knows is coming at you in the future. And if it weren't for having gone through something prior to it, you'd have lost your mind when you went through it. So, see, that's why it's important to never sit in church and say, well, that ain't for me. I'm not going through that. It ain't for you today. But what you have to learn to do as a learner is file it away. Because there's coming a day where you're going to need the Holy Spirit to call back to your remembrance the lessons and principles you got on the day you claimed it wasn't for you. Somebody say, all right, that's good, but where are you getting that in the text? Check me out. The text says, he loses his coat. The brothers concoct a lie, and they throw him in a pit. He loses his coat. They concoct a lie, and they throw him in a pit. They took his coat, concocted a lie, and threw him in a pit. Keep your finger there. Jaywalk two chapters to chapter 39. And go down to verse 12. She came up to Joseph, grabbed his coat, and said, sleep with me. I've arranged for everybody to be out the house. Nobody's here but us. My husband will never know. But Joseph ran out of his coat and ran from the house. When she realized that he had left her holding his coat, she started screaming. When the servants came running back into the house, she said, look at this. This Hebrew slave whom my husband trusts so much attacked me. Verse 16, she kept Joseph's coat until his husband came home. She told him the whole story. Hebrew slave you brought here came to the bedroom, attacked me. When I screamed, he ran, left his tunic. When Potiphar heard his wife's story, he pretended to be furious, even though he doubted what she said. But he ordered his men to go get Joseph, arrest him, throw him into prison. Church folk don't know when to shout. She took his coat, concocted a lie, and they threw him in a prison. And Joseph never said a mumbling word. Do you know why? Two chapters earlier, they took his coat, lied on him, and put him in a pit. Y'all didn't catch it. Y'all didn't catch it. Joseph said, I've been through this before. And the last time it happened, God used it to elevate me. So I'm just going to sit right here and see what God's got next. See, some of y'all need to be rejoicing because this is not the first time you've been through something. And the last time you went through it, God brought you out. Look at somebody, tell them, the last time God brought me out. And he will do it again. That was the wrong neighbor. Turn on the other side and tell somebody God's going to do it again. I went through what I went through to teach me when I go through it again, I can do a flashback and say, God, you brought me out the last time. And if you brought me out the last time, I know you'll bring me out. Is there anybody in here who knows this ain't your first struggle? This is not your first trouble. This is not your first difficulty. This is not your first situation. But high five three people and tell them the same God that brought you out before is the same God. Whatever it is you're going through right now, it's preparing you for a future battle. And surviving this one is going to have you ready for the next one. See, that's why you act like you act with everything you're going through. People trying to figure out how you're going through what you're going through. And you smiling and you got a positive attitude. And you in church and you showing up to work on time. And you laughing and kikiing. They calling you fake. They calling you phony. Tell them, I ain't fake and phony. But I've been through this before. And the same God that was with me the last time is the same God that, as a matter of fact, I've got enough nerve to shout in advance of getting the victory. See, when you've been through stuff in your future, watch this, you can prophesy your breakthrough even before you have your breakdown. You ain't even had the breakdown yet, but you already shouting over the breakthrough because you know you've been through this before and God brought you out the last. Has he ever brought you out? I said, has he ever brought you out? I said, has he ever brought you out? I said, has he ever paid your bills? then why are you worried about being broke? Has he ever healed your body? Then why are you worried about being sick? Has he ever dried your tears? Then why are you worried about being by yourself? Has he ever fought your battles? Then why are you worried about your haters? He's the same God. You got to use what you've already been through and know that it's giving you previous preparation. That's how Joseph could get into Egypt and survive and not complain, even when they put him on a job beneath his gift. Because when you have survived having nothing, you know how to be thankful having anything. I'm done. The Bible says Joseph had two brothers that made suggestions. First brother said, man, we can't kill him. Let's throw him in that pit. Let's get some blood. Say something happened to him. Starve him to death. But then he had another brother that looked down in that pit and refused to let him die. He had one brother, Jesus, that looked down in that pit and said, if I speak up, he will not be destroyed. He had one brother that said, if I open up my mouth, the power of what I say is going to save his life. That brother's name was Judah. Judah means praise. I can't get no help in here. So praise saved his life. See, the reason most of y'all can't say nothing is because y'all think that all praise is a syncopated rhythmic response to something. No, praise is a weapon of warfare. That if you ever learn how to use it, it can absolutely save your life. I wonder, are there any praisers in here who can say, when I had nothing else, I had a praise. And the only thing that kept me sane was knowing how to give God the praise. I ain't talking to the quiet, cute folk. I want to talk to the folk this morning who know praise is your weapon. And if you ever open up your mouth, you can save your life. You can save your family. You can save your marriage. You can save your children. I just want you to high-five somebody and tell them, praise saved my life. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Joseph, I've heard this preach. And everybody go out on that. If you just praise it. Now that's good, but that ain't integrity to the text. Because in the text, Joseph ain't Judah. Joseph was not praised. His brother was. Yeah. When his brother spoke up, he got out. He didn't get delivered because he had a praise. He got delivered because he was connected to a praiser. That's why some of y'all better check your pew real quick. You better check your surroundings real quick. Because in this season, it ain't about you having a praise. In this season, it's about somebody being connected to you that knows how to praise when you can't praise. This is a season about having somebody in your life who knows how to open up their mouth on your behalf. The old church put it this way, somebody prayed for me. had me on their mind took the time and prayed for me. I want you to grab somebody real quick and tell them, my next praise is not for anything I'm going through. Come on, look at them, tell them, my next praise is not for my difficulty. Now look them back in the face and tell them, don't get it twisted. I got some difficulties. I got some struggles. I got some obstacles. I've got some rough times. Tell them, but this next praise is not for what I'm going through. Tell them, this next praise is to help you get through. Now look at them real quick and tell them, neighbor, let me introduce myself. Tell them, my name is Judah. That was the wrong neighbor. Turn on the other side and tell them, neighbor, let me introduce myself. My name is Judah. What y'all doing? Put the organ in the monitors, please. Turn around to somebody else and tell them, neighbor, let me introduce myself. My name is Judah, and you're awfully privileged to sit in my space, because when I open my mouth, everything you've been going through, when I open up my mouth, everything you've been dealing with, when I open up my mouth, everything that made you lonely, when I open up my mouth, every demon in hell is going to have to obey. When I open up my mouth and lift up my praise, because I'm an intercessory praiser. I just ain't an intercessory prayer. I got intercessory praise. You better grab your neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, my next praise is for your family. Whatever your family's going through, my next praise is to help them get out. Whatever you're dealing with, my next praise is to help you get out. I need you to look your neighbor in the eye and tell them, I need your praise, because it's getting rough for me right now. I don't know how to do it for myself. I need your praise. Some of y'all better move your seat, because it looks like you're sitting by somebody that don't want to be bothered with you. You better move your seat, because it looks like you're sitting by somebody who wish you'd shut your mouth. But find you somebody and tell them, I need your praise. I need you to open up your mouth and help me praise my way through. I need you to open up your mouth and help me get up out this pit. I need you to open up your mouth and help me get delivered. I got to get out of here. I got to preach at 4 o'clock. But I need somebody who's got a praise on their lips, not for yourself, but for somebody else. Take your neighbor by the hand and tell your neighbor, neighbor, oh, neighbor, I'ma help you praise out. That was the wrong neighbor. Take another neighbor by the hand. Shake them and rock them. Rock them and shake them. Shake them and rock them. And tell them, neighbor, oh, neighbor, when I open up my mouth, you gonna get your breakthrough. When I open up my mouth, you gonna get your miracle. I got to get out of here, but I'm better than Joseph. My name ain't in the Bible, but I'm better than Joseph. I didn't become a leader in Egypt, but I'm better than Joseph. I don't have $1 million, but I'm better than Joseph. Can I tell you why? He had Judah, but I got Jesus. And if I got Jesus, I got everything I need. Keep Judah. Give me Jesus. You can have Judah if I got Jesus, because he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. High five 3 people and tell them, you can make it. If you got Jesus, you can hold on. If you got Jesus, you can dry your tears. If you got Jesus, is there anybody here who knows my Jesus? Is there anybody here who knows my Lord? Do you know him? Have you tried him? Is he all right? He's like a wheel in the middle of a wheel. He's like fire shut up in my bones. Shake three people's hands and tell them Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the reason. Jesus is all you need. He'll keep you. He'll hold you. He'll sustain you. He'll fight for you. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he fight your battles? Won't he make your enemies your footstool? Won't he give you joy and sorrow? Won't he give you hope for tomorrow? Won't he dry your tears? Won't he, won't he, won't he, won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he, won't he, won't he, won't he? Say yes! 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 Yes!
I tell you, just to throw your head back and call his name.
Amen, amen, amen. What a powerful word, what a powerful word. Listen, we're just excited about the opportunity to share this gospel of Jesus Christ with you guys, those of you all that are listening in. We thank you so very much for your continued support and connecting with us as we do the work of the Lord, as we do the assignment that the Lord has called us to. And we thank God for obedience to connect with us and to share and to come on board with us as we do what God has called us to do every single day right here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. We thank God for you. 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 Listen, there are those of you all that are under the sound of our voice right now. And the Spirit of the Lord is resting on you right now to move into place of your salvation. You move into the place of your salvation. There are those that are under the sound of our voice right now. This word met you where you were, met you in your most difficult and most complex time. And I want to invite you, to a connection with Christ. I want to invite you into a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the way we're going to do that is we want to give you what we call here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection, our Overcomer Scripture and our Overcomer's Prayer. And it simply just says this. It says, if you could, Romans 10 and 9, that says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and was raised from the dead, you will be saved. Very simple, not a complex thing. Not a very complex thing at all, but I want you to understand that even in this, God is able to see you through no matter what your condition or situation may look like right now. I know right now that it looks so difficult. I know it looks so complex, but he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And what we just have to learn how to do is trust in him. Trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not thy own understanding in all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Our hearts and our minds, listen to me very careful, people of God, our hearts and our minds have to be connected with him. Our hearts and our minds have to be connected with him. Our hearts and our minds have to be connected with him. And with that being said, what we have to do is we have to trust in him. Even though we can't trace him, even though we can't see our way through, he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think. We just got to learn how to lean on him. And in our leaning, watch what he does in our leaning. In our leaning, we learn how to depend on him. We learn how to trust in him. We learn how to see him for who he is. So let me pray this prayer with you. Let me pray this prayer with you very quick. It's not a complex prayer. And when I finish with this prayer, what I want you to do, this is what I want you to do. I want you to just throw your hands up and receive him as your Lord and Savior. You may not be able to preach like Paul. You may not be able to sing like Saul. You may not be able to do all of these things. But if you learn how to just lean on God, he's able to do it. Just trust in him and let God be God and let the devil be a lie. So lend me your hearts for a moment as we pray. Gracious and eternal Father, we pray today, God, that you will move by your power and by your strength. Touch those that are under the sound of our voice, those that are seeking salvation, Father God. I pray today, God, that you would move on their lives even now. God, as we reiterate Romans 10 and 9, that they confess with their mouth and that they believe in their heart. God, that you died and was raised from the dead, they are now saved. They are now in the safety of your care. They are now in what I'd like to call protective custody. You have made them your priority. And so, Father, with you making them your priority, we bless and magnify and glorify and edify your mighty name and say unto you, God, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly. Above all we can ask, I think we just lean on you, depend on you, and know that you are going to do what you said you're going to do. Now, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And now we thank you and glorify you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, I think. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. So those of you all that received Jesus Christ, let me give you three real quick keys. Get you a really good Bible. If you get into a church home, and while you're getting in a church home, make sure that individual person is preaching the word, that he or she is living that word. Amen. Then you can tell the difference between the two. Now watch what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. I want you to get to a church home. We are the pastors of the Abba House International. You can find us here in Houston, Texas, and that address is 3029 Wayne Street. That's in Houston, Texas, and the zip is 770-26, 770-26. Connect with us there. Come and be a part of the Abba House family. Our motto is there is room at the house. There's room for you at the house. So come and share and be a part of the Abba House family. We would love to have you become a part of the family. And watch this here. We are people that believe in pushing you to your purpose and driving you to your destiny. God is able to do just what he said he's going to do in your life. And we trust that God will move by his power and by his strength on your behalf. Amen? Amen. So those of you who would like to sow, you can do so by going to your Cash App, your Zelle, or your PayPal. And that Zelle is 346-491-5960. That number again is 346-419-5960. Or you can go to your PayPal, which is paypal.me/worldwide. GC. Again, that is paypal.me/worldwide GC. And then you can go to your Cash App, which is $WGC2020. Please make it your business to sow, because when you sow here, you give us the ability to continue to do the work of the Lord. So please make sure that you sow with a grateful heart, that God will be able to bless you. Don't sow your seed grudgingly. Sow your seed in love, that your seed, that you may see the workings of the Lord, the workings of the Lord's hand on your life. Amen? Amen. Because in obedience of sowing the seed and not eating the seed, God will move on your behalf. Amen? Amen. So thank you guys so much for being a part of today's broadcast. We look forward to you guys joining us again
right here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. And remember, join us this coming Thursday for the Women's Day Thursday, which will be hosted by none other than the Abba House International, none other than Apostle Kashima Douglas. She will be sharing on that broadcast on Women's Day Thursday. So love you so much. We appreciate you. God bless you. You guys have a fantastic day. And we look forward to you guys chiming in and being a part of the Worldwide Gospel Connection again on Thursday of this week. God bless you. You guys have a great day.